Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. So this week we had the pleasure of going through Exodus 35, like the last little bit of Exodus 35, and into Exodus 36, just the first little part. And I am sitting here with
Raphael Mgandla.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So Raphael, if you had an extra 10 minutes or so to introduce something new or explain something a little bit deeper, what would it have been?
So after having thought about my sermon on Sunday, there was just a couple of things that I really want. I think maybe that I walked away with thinking about just things that were impactful. I'll mention a couple of them, and then I will jump onto one of the things that I would have said. The first thing was just really like I walked away with just from this text with an elevated sense of just sensing that like God really wants us to be to take our natural giftings seriously mm-hmm. as tools to glorify Him.
Yeah, yeah.
And just really looking at how he calls these artisans who are skilled. And so I wanted to, and I think I did drive this point forward, but just I'm going to say it one more time, that like our time that we spend, that it's not just like important that we dream or we see the talents that we have. What's important, I think God wants us to be faithful stewards of our talents so that we can actually now, so that now by our mundane faithfulness in our talents, in sharpening the axe of our talents, we're also posturing ourselves to be ready for God to use us.
Mm-hmm.
And you've met some people that have so much passion, but yet they have not honed in their skill.
Yes.
Right. And then so I think that's actually one of the things that maybe just really I wanted to emphasize a little bit more, just the whole idea that we are called and that God gives us. We have to be thinking about like if we, you know, it's in that passage, it's so easy for us to run so much towards like God giving us power to do work,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually like the supernatural power. In that passage, we sometimes in the church focus so much more on God's mm-hmm. anointing to do the work. Yes, it's important, mm-hmm. but also still, and this is like where you love to do this. You know, you and I have really just fallen in love with the whole idea of the Imago Dei.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, at creation, what was God doing? One of the reasons why we see so much talent in the world is because God, who is a creative God himself, has mm-hmm. put people in his image, and they are creative.
Yeah.
That's why innovation, whether it's actually... every single day, we get to enjoy people who are faithful in their gifting, in their natural curiosity of how they were wired to do this. Whether it's riding on your car, somebody pushed the envelope on that. Whether mm-hmm. it's getting in a plane, whether it's a stroller, whether it's a water bottle, whether it's your dishwasher, whether it's your, you know, the way at least your houses are insulated, that somebody who decided, let me push the envelope on on that. Mm-hmm. That's just God's gift towards us. That's like what we call common grace.
Yeah.
Common grace is literally like God's gift towards us in that way. So that's at least maybe just like pulling back and recognizing that and just saying, whatever we do, God has called us to do it with excellence, mm-hmm. and to keep on making sure we are getting better at doing that for the betterment and for the blessing of all mankind.
Yeah.
And why? Because it images him. Mm-hmm. And the second part is obviously, whatever we do, doing it only just in our power, there's a way in which we can be overconfident in what we do in our own power, where we can communicate we don't need God. But that's actually now like where you see when God calls us, he endows us with natural gifts, but he also, our natural gifts have a way, there are boundaries to where we can't do it all on our own. Mm-hmm. So that's where his supernatural power comes in. So in our text, we see God the designer calling skilled people, but then he also recognizes their boundaries or their limitations. He pours his spirit into them so that they can actually do his work, his way, and the way he has designed it. And that's actually also now the side of working in his kingdom, whether it's working in the church or working anywhere else. That's the importance of the whole text was actually enveloped by his spirit and what he has commanded. The fact that like it's only when we pay attention to what he is, like depend on him, but still make sure that we're really looking at his word. The word of God, we don't worship the Bible, but the Bible helps us to discern God's will a lot more clearer,
yeah.
right? So, so there's that part of just like saying, make sure that apart, scripture says, apart from him, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So what God does when it comes to doing his work in the world, he takes naturally gifted people and that gift doesn't have to be spectacular. It could be just a gift of serving. There are just some people I've met who are just amazing in hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like who are amazing in making sure everyone feels welcome. And there are some people as well that are so amazing at taking care of those who are suffering, who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
They've got just that gift of actually making sure that, like, for example, some people that work in hospice, like a hospice, like, you know, and there are some people that are so gifted at working with those that just basically, like, with you and I would be like, we would be so impatient.
Oh, yes. I tell my wife that every day.
Yeah. And but they can work with such an amazing grace that you see God's varied grace that 1 Peter 4:10 says. Just grace kind of embodied there. And I would say to every single one of us, according to 1 Corinthians 12, God has given us a gift, 12:18. And us recognizing that our gifts are needed in verse 21, 12, 21 to 26. And then also recognizing that our gifts are not about us in 12:7. And then also now, like, I'm going to bring my gift as the church is meant to be the potluck style of God building his church through us. I love to watch a couple of weeks ago, and this is something I forgot to mention, and it was there in my notes. A couple of weeks ago, there was an Amish barn that was burned here in outskirts of Williamsport.
Oh.
But watching how they build that barn up is literally like, I'm telling you, you can bring a camera that can take 24 hours of video. 24, at least, let's just at least go 72 hours. In 72 hours, you watch these guys, the whole community shows up. And there's a guy who's good with trim. There's a guy who's good at framing. There's a guy who's good at... It's amazing to watch them. We can learn how God's gifts towards us, our natural gifts and God working through us. We can learn so much more from the Amish people in watching how a community comes together to build. And it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think now, this is now like my main thing was, and I didn't get to dig into this. I think our service, especially when you look at John chapter 13, when Jesus is about to, like, he's one of his final acts. I think we can look at this text and actually maybe guilt trip people into like, hey, God has gifted you. You need to serve. You need to serve. Mm-hmm. You need to use your gift. You need to do all that. But how is my gift? How is it sustained? And how is it motivated? And I think if I had 10 more minutes, this is where I really would have actually gone. And I did mention that a little bit, that Jesus is the beginning of our service, the foundation and the motivation of our service. So we begin with Jesus. He's our foundation. He is also our motivation. And he's also the end of our service, right? And that's coming from Matt Chandler in his book, Creature of the Word, where he says the creature of the word serves. So Jesus is both our example in serving and our highest purpose in serving.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Jesus like right on his final week in John 13. He gets down and he begins to wash. After supper, he washes his disciples' feet. And he says, go and do the same.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure it's clear that, you know, the world will use, for example, even though we're meant to see compassion in displayed in Jesus, there's what I call compassion-driven service. Like where it's like, I'm going to use my skills because I'm driven by compassion. I say compassion on its own, if it's not fueled by your love for Jesus, will run dry. So compassion-driven. Yeah. So true compassion kind of often serves as a great starting point of service, but unless it's connected to something or someone deeper as to Jesus, it will not be sustained.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also guilt-driven compassion, the guilt-driven service, where it's like you you feel like you have to, God saved me, so I need to make it up to God. I need to do, yeah. I'm doing stuff for him. Or do, like, man, like, can you not see he gave it all for us? So why are you not giving? He gave it all. Why are you not serving? But guilt will get you going, but guilt won't keep you going. So we need to actually, like, you know, instead of actually it being anchored in guilt, we need to make sure it's anchored in Jesus. Like, so that it's actually anchored in gratefulness versus actually in guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's force-driven, where it's almost like, have you ever seen, like, people that do community service hours?
Yes.
Even if they're gifted, there's just something about that where it's like, yeah, I'm doing this because I'm required to do it. I'm doing this because... And then, but like when time comes, when I need to jet, I'm going to jet. I don't even care where I ended it up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That community service. And then there's also pride given, pride driven one, which is actually like, man, I'm going to do it so I can look better. You know, it's like the one percenters who cut a check of $1 million because they want to look like they're giving people or people that. But yet, really, at the end of the day, that
it's
was
really
just,
not sacrificial.
Yeah, it's not sacrificial. So
they got about 100 million more, just kind of sitting there.
So I think at the end of the day, what our text emphasized on there was the fact that, like, I think if you go in chapter 35 and 36. Heart is mentioned, I don't know how many times, at least 10 times plus. They were moved from their heart. It was not compulsion. They did it from their heart. They really, really just like, it was out of their gratefulness. So I think the key to using our skill is this one. I'll tell you this. Because God is working in us, He then compels us to work. He works in and through us to work, which is Ephesians 2. When you look, it says that you and I are God's work of art. That is, He is renovating our hearts, to use Dallas Willard's word, phrase. For we are His workmanship. Listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus. You know why created in Christ Jesus? Because we were created, you know, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. As God renovates our hearts and our hearts begins to warm up to His grace, all of a sudden we begin to say, what can I do to participate in your work? And I think that is actually what gets it going. It's literally like Jesus is working in our hearts. Then all of a sudden that becomes our work with what we have, and sacrificial serving and sacrificial giving is actually, it has to be in the heart first. And then, so that's really what I just didn't want to leave everyone feeling like, oh man, he's wanting to make us feel bad for doing that. Because the motivation yeah. shouldn't be that. The motivation should be, is God, this same God who artistically designed the world, is actually now renovating your heart. And as He's doing that, and your Christ-likeness, especially here, workmanship is a poema. It's a word of actually like, it's a crafting word. That God is the one who's working inside your heart, and then out of your heart, now you can now go and express. That God, through Christ, plants that. So now skill doesn't have to be a drudgery to build, because Christ is working, and you just want to be faithful. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You just want to show off His glory. He prepared these works for us to do way before. So we find our motivation and our strength and our foundation and our ongoing strength from Jesus, instead of like, running out of gas. Anyway, I'm done. That was, if I had 20 more minutes, that's what I would have said.
Yeah. Like when you were bringing up like pushing the envelope to be faithful in the talents, the natural talents that God has given us, like my immediate thought was my brother.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it was to get my brother outside? Which, you know my brother.
Yeah.
You know both of them. But like my youngest brother.
Yeah.
Like top of his class, like in the program that he was in at Penn College, and like everybody knew who he was when he walked in the room.
Yeah.
Because he was that good. But it all started with a fostering of a natural talent, a natural proclivity towards like anything technology.
Yeah.
Like again, getting that kid outside
and
doing something was like pulling teeth. Like my mom would literally had to say, like, you need to go out and break a sweat before you can come back in and
come
do
back
this.
In, yeah. Yeah.
And depending on, you know, time of year or how hot it was, you just had to walk outside. But like, you know, that's a really good example.
Yeah.
Of recognizing a natural talent and proclivity for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as parents, fostering that so that they can image God in that way.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I love that you say that. I think we need to be thinking, even as parents, just starting and calling out the ways God has gifted and wired our children, and just saying, you are just so good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, help them to recognize, man, you pick up stuff. Like, my son is just like, you think he's not listening, or he's actually like, he's finishing books, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I recognize that, like, he has a sharp mind.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we do is that, like, hey, man, you know, instead of fighting him to go to bed, I just say, hey, if you read,
Mm-hmm.
If you read, and then let's talk about what you're reading and all that stuff. Yeah. I just know that, like, and also there, he has just this, he likes to use his mind. So part of that is just like, hey, let me help you with that. Yeah. I owe him $5 for every book he reads. I think right now I owe him $65. Anyway, let's keep going.
So that's 31. That's 31 books.
Yeah, roughly. He's going.
I think. I'm not a mathematician, so don't quote me on that one.
Now I'm calculating. Anyway, yeah.
It's 13 books.
Yeah, 13 books.
13 books. But, you know, whenever we're using our gifts, like those natural talents that God has given us,
mm-hmm.
What does that like look like? Is that something that we're supposed to use like in the church, or is it something like, because we talked about this last night at home group, like that cruise liner versus battleship, like dichotomy that you know what the church is supposed to look like is the battleship, not the cruise liner, but mm-hmm. the church ends up really looking like a cruise liner. And you have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work,
or
10% of the people doing 90% of the work, whatever that ratio looks like in your church. But those natural talents, sometimes we don't really see how it actually benefits the church. So that's why we come into, into church and see it as a cruise liner.
Then
you can be equipped to go out into the world, which mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to kind of look at things. But also, maybe this is like where you can kind of help us. Is like, thinking about like we have a bunch of medical people.
Yeah,
how would a medical person use and utilize the gifts and natural talents for medical stuff in the church and not just in the hospital?
I mean, I can point to that. Alvin, one day, I don't know if you remember, there was a gentleman who collapsed here in the church.
I remember that,
Duane, and Alvin was like, and at that point, I was as useless as can be.
Yeah, well, that was in the throes of COVID, too.
Yeah, so. Right in there, and all the medical people just jumped on there and mm-hmm. basically helped save his life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also, but then at the same time as well, like, I think there could be, we need to be thinking gospel community mission here.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel community mission. And when we're thinking gospel community mission, there are those gifts that help further the gospel in terms of like the gospel being declared, preached, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you could be that person who's just basically like, man, I want to, and in the community also the gospel is spread out and then mission. So there are those of us who spread the gospel, you know. Jesus says, Paul says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, right? So you can be God's faithful presence in a lost and in a dark world. Like where, for example, like I cannot mention how many times people have said that doctor just didn't care about us. That nurse didn't really, mm-hmm. like they just literally just were all about. But you can communicate care. You can communicate, hey, and you can treat mm-hmm. people right and all that. You can be a prison guard. You can treat people right. You can be any. So that's mission. Yeah. Mission is to, number one, be missionaries there. And missionaries don't have to just always speak. They can also demonstrate. It's a word and deed kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like when Judah was born, like there was something about our nurse that made us actually say, man, what's so different about you? And she was like, oh yeah, I go to this church and, mm-hmm. you know, and she just like, I see my work here as to serve. And I remember Heidi had just had a C-section and we went and we saw the nurse of the month. She was the nurse of the month, just highlighted for her service, and just mm-hmm. she would always just come and check, hey, do you guys need anything, are you guys okay? And that was part of that, like, and she was like, no, this is my ministry, this is work. you know, to help. Yeah. And at the same time, there are some people even here, talk about Jason Miller here, talk about Alvin, talk about Dave Hoffman.
So Dave, yeah.
When Heidi was, bro, like when Heidi was about to have surgery and stuff like that, and I'm sitting in there, and it was probably one of the darkest days of my life. You know, when you're watching your wife go through stuff, guess who came to pray? Guess who came and was like, hey, do you need me to explain anymore? I saw God's presence and his peace and his comforting presence through those that were passing in. When Alvin walks in and says, hey, yeah, you're doing really good. I see this, this. And just thinking about like, wow, what a blessing that you can be such a, you can bring the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit into a hospital room in a way better way than I can. Like, especially like when you know this is also a believer or this is an unbeliever, you can be able to pray with them. They've lost someone or whatever. So there's that side of that. But within the church, listen, let's talk about, you know, there's an X29 church in Philly, Pastor Donny Cho. He heard Heidi had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And Donny reached out to me and he was like, Raphael, I have a couple of doctors that are endo, you know, like that know this stuff way better. I was about to butcher that. And he was like, if at all it helps, can we get on Zoom?
Oh, wow.
And we got on Zoom, and my wife was breaking down. But what a comfort it was that this guy's not on the clock. But just so that, like, and now we talk to that guy in a, you know, I almost tear up talking about that. When I meet him and I see him, and, like, there's just something about, like, man, you were not just only gifted to be on the, just on the clock. You can also, you know, and just hearing also, there's just a lot of ways in which we can be able to serve one another. That's what really what, like, where someone just needs help. And we can now be able to say, hey, I have, this is now like the African communal kind of like, what I have is yours.
Yeah.
I have, we have, so we become better. Like, so, and that just goes even with knowledge. At the end of the day, you have, you can work with, and you've seen, I ask you a million things about apologetics. Hey, man, what do you think about this? Hey, so-and-so say this. What do you think about it? You have, so that means we have. And I think that's now like where in the body of Christ, I think what becomes important is also just to walk up to each other and say, hey, I'm good at this. How can I serve? And man, to tell you the truth, for example, we've got guys like Peter Swift who enjoy spreadsheets like nobody's business. Like, he tells you he enjoys looking at numbers. And so, you know what? Man, take that guy, put him on the finance team. Like, and just, and you see what I mean? Like, they're just like, it's like whatever you have is useful. And I think that's where probably like what we need to probably do even in our church, begin to take inventory and say, what do you do? And let me kind of even say this, even, you know, we've got people like Sarah Myers and Jerry Haywood, people who's just say, hey, listen, I don't need to work. I'm not gonna get paid for this, but I'm willing to come and clean.
Yeah.
And you know what? They serve our people every single week. When you walk into clean spaces, there are people who are saying, I want to volunteer. And then Pam Senka just joined that team. Hanif West just joined that team.
Oh, wow.
And like people that are just like,
yeah,
coming in behind the scenes, nobody sees them. They're going to kill me because I mentioned this. But like, Mm-hmm. But they're coming and they're doing it behind the scenes because they're good at that.
Yeah.
You know, June and Ron, who comes in and says, hey, I'm good at hospitality. Can I help prepare communion? Mm-hmm. I just, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I'm just saying, like, yeah. whatever it is that you're gifted with, you can yeah. be able to do that. Mm-hmm. We drink free coffee. We drink coffee every Sunday because Ron and June, they're like, hey, we want to serve the church and give you good coffee for a Sunday morning. Yeah. That line is going to be busting this Sunday. Anyway.
So, like, to kind of pull it out and, like, recognize that mm-hmm. in the, I hate the secular sacred divide, mm-hmm. but I'm going to use the word secular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because I've always had an issue with mm-hmm. that divide because I don't think it's,
It doesn't exist.
I don't think it exists.
Yeah.
But, you know, we in the church need to have that, like, for some reason, need to have that divide so that we can kind of feel better about what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the secular world, like, I think it was last night.
Yeah.
Maybe this morning. I don't remember. But it was, I was, like, scrolling through TikTok. and this video of Charlie Puth came up.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie Puth is a singer-songwriter, like, got perfect pitch. Like, he's one of those virtuoso musicians.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to watch him work. Like, he will literally, like you can hit something like this, and he'll be able to tell you what note that is.
Yeah.
And, like, within a few cents, mm-hmm. which is, like, amazing.
That's insane, yeah.
But he's like, yeah, I wrote this song called Stay.
Yeah.
I don't sing it.
Yeah.
Kid Laroi and Justin Bieber sing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I don't sing it because I wrote it so difficult that I don't want to sing it. But I'm glad to say that I was behind the scenes on this one so that they can have this success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just, I sat back and thought, wow, how many of us are willing to say, yeah, I'm glad to be on the background of this, not because I don't want to do it.
Yeah. It,
like, you know, with Charlie not wanting to sing that song, but so that they could see somebody else succeed.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like Sarah and Jerry, mm-hmm. they're willing to stay in the background so that they can watch other people succeed in growing spiritually on a Sunday morning.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
succeed in using the church, like the church building, to grow spiritually.
Yeah. A place to gather, yeah.
Yeah.
That's now, like, where I love. There's a guy called Wayne Cordero. He wrote a book called Doing Church as a Team. Mm-hmm. Like, the church, there's no star quarterbacks here. Like, there's no, everyone mm-hmm. brings and does something. It's a cruise line. It's not a cruise line. It's a battleship. Everyone. I'm just talking about, like, for example, there was one time when I was just having, I don't know, like, it's just the crisis was, like, you know, feedback on the mics and all that stuff mm-hmm. and all that. And I prayed for God to send someone who was really going to help us with that. And up and out of nowhere shows up this guy called Dennis, mm-hmm. who just, like, he's wired as an engineer. It's like, hey, man, on my off time, when I'm just doing nothing, I design an amplifier or whatever. Like, just things like that. Like, where you're like, and not only that. So I'm talking about, like, this is, like, real life here. And, I mean, Dennis has helped everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you hardly hear feedback on Sunday because of mm-hmm. these guys that have really just, they're mm-hmm. behind the scenes. But they're making sure, if faith comes by hearing the word of God, if you want to hear clearly,
they're the ones facilitating hearing.
They're facilitating hearing.
Yeah.
Like, clear hearing.
Yeah.
Making sure the live stream is going well. There was also just this young man during COVID. Man, you see, these are things that I should have probably, like, this should have been 20 minutes of my time. You know, I called Ethan Smith, like, when I was literally just, like, he had told me, hey, this is what I'm good at, when he was, when we're doing a membership meeting. I'm just good at, like, I like tech stuff. I like, you know.
Yeah.
He shows up, like, during COVID, I was going to do Brett and Amber's wedding. And they wanted to live stream it. There was only 10 people in this sanctuary. And I was thinking, who can help me? Who can help me? I call Ethan. Ethan comes in, just knocks it out of the park. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, we're streaming this thing. And from there, literally, like, the whole world shuts down. And guess who shows up? At some point, it would just be me, Ethan, and Chris. And just like, and literally like, and he helped make sure that that gets streamed. Mm-hmm. And he came and he was like, hey man, I build computers for fun. Your computers seem like they're crashing and they're slow and all that. And he's like, just don't worry. I'm going to go build you new computers. And he just goes and builds. Every Sunday we get to enjoy those computers simply because. I don't know. Like, it's just like, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we can.
Yeah. Yeah,
I digress.
No, you're good. Because like one of the things that, and like no soapbox or anything.
Yeah.
Like we don't want to soapbox people for long.
Yeah.
It does start to get to that like to that one percenter example that you threw out. It's like, you know, where it's more of an ego thing than anything else.
Yeah.
After a certain point.
Yeah.
But like. You know, that one of the most disdained fields of work and study and things like that is in the church is what?
What would it be?
Philosophy.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
But
yeah.
When I think about some of the people that have done so well for the church using their mind and creating and devising philosophical concepts, or I guess identifying philosophical concepts.
Yeah.
I think, and I brought up Alvin Plantinga before.
Yeah.
And his, like, this concept called proper function.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought, I was like, you know, proper function of a human being.
Yeah.
Is really just aligning of the natural talents that God has given us.
Yeah.
To his will.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, we start to function properly.
Yeah.
And when we come together as a church, we start to function properly as a community.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's where your Caleb Myers is going to come in.
And yeah.
Doing his stuff, like car questions, I ask him.
But listen, that dude has picked me up from the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm talking about, like he has just like, hey, man, like, are you okay? And man, he then shines out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the guy you want to pick you up. Like,
oh yeah, I love talking to Caleb.
Yeah. Because
then, like, if you get a conversation with Caleb, like, for a couple hours in a car, I'm sure it's probably like the best conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, to kind of like, you know, where did this whole like proper function thing come from? It came from planning a sitting down and thinking about cognitive faculties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's like, but it's so easily transportable or transferable into the church and the life of a human.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than just their thought life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The health and all of that stuff. So it's like, why can we not use these things to really help us grasp things in the church?
That's good.
And like, you know, I'm really enjoying, like, you know, you said like the philosophy of, or not philosophy, the Imago Dei.
Yeah.
It's one of, if not the clearest statement.
Yeah.
One of the clearest statements of doctrinal stuff that we have in the Bible. God made man and woman in his image.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of anything that are doctrinally that's clearer than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
That's good.
But. In order to help us kind of wrestle with that, what do we have to use?
Yeah.
We have to use philosophy.
Philosophy, oh
and
yeah.
And specifically philosophy of mind. How did God create man?
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So it's like, you know, we use these things all the time, but we're so, because of that passage in the New Testament, Paul wrote it, don't be swayed by the philosophies of man, or, or Tyler's paraphrase.
Yeah.
Like, we're so afraid of it to go into and like be like swayed by these things. Where
yeah.
That's where we were talking a few weeks ago. What can God redeem?
Mm-hmm.
Can God redeem that philosophy that somebody came up with for his glory?
Yeah, and he calls us to love him with our minds, with our hearts, with all us.
Yeah.
So basically at the end of the day,
it's a total body thing.
Yeah, it's a total body thing, which is a very pivotal text to all this.
Yeah,
that's
really
very good.
It really is. Like, you know, when you are serving, when you're figuring out what to do within the church, think about that. What is this, this whole person that I am, body, mind, spirit, all that stuff, how can I serve the church in that way, using the talents that God has given me?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I think it's a good way to end that.
Huh.
Without diving into, like, six other different rabbit trails.
Yeah, because I do have them. yes.
We'll talk afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we want to remind you that this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon or being involved in a local church. It's only a supplement to it. So please get involved with a local church. If you're in Williamsport, you don't have a local church, we would love to meet you and get you plugged in and involved in serving and using those talents, those natural talents that God has given you, whether they're hidden or you clearly know what they are. So Raphael, thank you for helping us with taking these natural talents and putting them into use within the church.
Thank you.
So have a blessed week, guys.
God bless.